This is the product of the perpetration of the idea that some people are not worthy of justice. And that those people are overwhelmingly young and black and male. And that the best place for them is prison. And if not prison, then what Michelle Alexander describes as a kind of invisible cage of post-felony conviction life. And that's what George Zimmerman saw when he saw a young man walking down the street with Skittles. He saw what our society has taught him to see. He saw someone who was already a criminal. And as she argues so cogently in her book, to be young and black and male is to be a criminal, basically.
Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. ALEC has come under fire for backing a number of controversial measures, including the so-called Stand Your Ground gun legislation in Florida. Over the past week, McDonald's, Kraft Foods, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Intuit have all announced that they have decided to not renew their membership with ALEC. In addition, the Gates Foundation has announced it will not continue to fund ALEC. Critics say the Washington-based organization plays a key role in helping corporations secretly draft model pro-business legislation that has been used by state lawmakers across the country. A major funder of ALEC have been the right-wing Koch brothers.
We're joined by Lisa Graves, executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, which runs ALEC Exposed website. On Tuesday night, the center won an Izzy Award for outstanding achievement in independent media from the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College. So tell us more about what ALEC is and this rush of corporations, as well as the Gates Foundation, away from ALEC.
Well, the American Legislative Exchange Council describes itself as the largest group of state legislators in the country, but it's really a group that's largely funded by corporations, CEO foundations, and others. And it's a group that actually puts lawmakers, state lawmakers, behind closed doors with corporate lobbyists and special interest groups to actually vote on so-called model legislation like the Stand Your Ground or Shoot First law, and have that be a template for passing across the country.
Make it.
That's what this was the product of. And the criminal justice system is always afraid of these cases. They're always afraid to really get into it and have real justice served, because to do so would reveal the depths to which this goes in their system. Every time claims of racial bias and patterns of racial injustice have been brought before them, they have said, yes, that is the pattern. However, we cannot admit it.
However.
Because to admit it would be to condemn our whole thing. And I think what's happening is that that condemnation, that sense of the whole thing being rotten, is becoming more and more clear in the minds of millions and millions of people. Incarceration really means you have a mass of people involved in this thing, and the more people you involve in it, the more people begin to figure it out. Think it through critically, to come to understand it, and now what we're seeing, to fight it, to get into the streets and challenge it. You ain't playing by the rules.
got the first look today at George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer, now charged with second-degree murder for killing Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman made a brief appearance in court today in Sanford, Florida. NBC's Kerry Sanders is standing by for us there tonight. Kerry, good evening.
Well, good evening, Brian. George Zimmerman will spend another night in jail here. His lawyer didn't even request a bond hearing today. Instead, he requested and was granted a judicial seal on almost all the public records, but for the probable cause affidavit.
Murder will be here soon, I understand.
Wearing a jail-issued blue-gray jumpsuit, his hands cuffed, George Zimmerman walked into the courtroom in Sanford, Florida. By his new defense attorney, who entered a not guilty plea. The 28-year-old listened as the charge was read into the court record.
Murder in the second degree.
Zimmerman was in the courtroom for less than 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
A routine hearing that would not normally be attended by the prosecutor, but today, Angela Corey was there. In a document outlining probable cause, state attorney investigators who examined the case concluded Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old African-American, was profiled by George Zimmerman, and that Zimmerman confronted Martin and a struggle ensued. And then there's that hard-to-understand muttering in George Zimmerman's call to police.
This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something.
The affidavit also refers to two statements Zimmerman made in phone calls to police, quoting him as saying, "These, they always get away, and these punks." And that scream heard on one of the 911 calls?
So you think he's yelling help?
Yes.
The affidavit says Trayvon Martin's mother listened to the call, and she identified the voice crying for help as Trayvon Martin's voice.
We didn't allege all the evidence we had, but some of the evidence to establish probable cause.
Zimmerman's second-degree murder case has been assigned to Circuit Judge Jessica Rexidler, a former prosecutor and mother of two.
This judge was assigned randomly, just luck of the draw that brought her into what will be the biggest case of her career.
Earlier on the Today Show, Trayvon Martin's parents said they were relieved Zimmerman had finally been arrested. But then Sabrina Fulton described her son's death as an accident.
I believe it was an accident. I believe that it just got out of control and he couldn't turn the clock back.
Later, she told NBC's Lester Holt the accident was their chance encounter that night.
Do you think Mr. Zimmerman meant to kill Trayvon?
Yes. I think when he got out of that vehicle, his intentions was to shoot and kill. On the tape, it says they always get away. So he wanted to make sure that this one didn't get away.
Honestly,
defense attorney Mark O'Mara.
Not guilty plea was entered. We have an arraignment set for the 29th. We'll attend to a bond motion between now and then and tell you when it's set for.
Defense attorney Mark O'Mara says that while George Zimmerman did shoot and kill Trayvon Martin, he is not guilty of a crime. Brian?
Kerry Sanders, Sanford, Florida. And I, Kerry, thanks.
Checking in here. This is Furious George, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. And just trying to spot what's going on with the hoodies out there. Justice for Trayvon. And we'll have some other fun sounds and beats, including that there in the background from stuff from Sector 7G, who has graciously offered to possibly make a mix for this show. So stick around for that. We've also got some cool, funky friends in the studio tonight. DJ, the drinking glove, is in the house. And, of course, DJ the homeostasis. We'll be back with some more radio. I'm furious. This is some more Sector 7 and then a little DJ Sun. Stick around.
Yeah. All right. Feel like dancing? Get on up.
words. Zimmerman confronted Martin and a struggle ensued. Witnesses heard people arguing and what sounded like a struggle. During this time period, witnesses heard numerous calls for help, and some of these were recorded in 911 calls to police. Trayvon Martin's mother has reviewed the 911 calls, identified the voice crying for help as Trayvon Martin's. Nothing about that critical, you know, who struck the first blow and...
That's what the era of mass incarceration really means. You have a mass of people involved in this thing. And the more people you involve in it, the more people begin to figure it out. And so that's the flip side of mass incarceration. Now a whole mass of people have a reason to think it through critically, to come to understand it, and now what we're seeing, to fight it, to get into the streets and challenge it. And I think that's why we saw such an outpouring here in the streets today. An unbelievable outpouring.
A number of corporations that have been funders of ALEC, and in fact been leaders of ALEC in the case of Coca-Cola and others, have determined that they are not going to renew their membership in ALEC. ALEC has provided the mechanism for this particular law in Florida to become a template. That bill was conceived of by the NRA's chief lobbyist, Marion Hammer. She came to a secret closed-door meeting in Texas in 2005 to present this bill as an ideal bill to be pursued. At that meeting, Walmart was the co-chair of that task force of ALEC, a criminal justice task force. Politicians and corporate lobbyists and special interest lobbyists voted in favor unanimously of making that bill a national model.
Another bizarre incident, this time coming from China. A boy has been found to have sold his kidney to get money to buy an iPod and an iPod. This case happened last year in April, and has come to light now, after which five people have been arrested. The boy admits to selling his kidney for $3,000 and is now suffering from renal failure. Now,
surgeon who the surgeon removed the kidney from the boy has been arrested along with four others. The group was reportedly paid around $30,000 for this transplant.
What would you sell to get what you want? Well, you think about that, check this out. A 17-year-old boy sold one of his kidneys to get an iPhone and an iPad 2. It's true. After a short trip, the boy came home along with technological expensive items and a scar on his side, making it easy for the parents to figure it out. What would you sell to get what you want? What do you think about that? Check this out. A 17-year-old boy sold one of his kidneys to get an iPhone and an iPad 2. It's true. After a short trip, the boy came home along with technological expensive items and a scar on his side, making it easy for the parents to figure it out. Then the kid told them he sold his right kidney for about $3,000 to get an iPad 2 and an iPhone. An ad posted on the internet to the Chisou City in China was answered by the kid. Over there, the organ was removed at a hospital unauthorized to do this kind of surgical procedures. After proper notifications, authorities are still trying to find a clue of the traffickers. And that's the story. You sell to get what you want.
iPad 3 is amazing. It does everything.
I just bought this thing and I have no idea how I lived my life before it.
Totally.
Finally got one.
Yeah.
I just got it today.
You got an iPad 3? So did we.
3?
I got a brand new iPad 2.
Dude, you bought a 2 the day the 3s came out?
Lame. You gonna return it, get the new one?
No, I don't think I will. You know what? It already doesn't work.
How can you say that? I mean, this new iPad has so many new features.
What do you want it to do? Bake your cookies?
Cookies, my iPad can't.
What would you sell to get what you want?
Another bizarre incident, this time coming from China. A boy has been found to have sold his kidney to get money to buy an iPod and an iPod. This kid. This happened last April, and it has come to light now. after which five people have been arrested. And the boy admits to selling his kidney for $3,000 and is now suffering from renal failure.
Can we have some?
Sure, let me fire up the iBake app.
Sarah, where's your baby?
Oh, he's being raised. He's being raised by my iPad 3.
With the iParent app, it takes care of all the child stuff for me. It's so great.
Hey, do you guys want a shot?
Hey, how did you get in here?
Downloaded myself from the App Store. The iPad 3 is amazing. Oh crap, I'm late. I got a 2:15 to buy. I gotta go, everybody. Sorry.
This iPad 3 has changed my life. Alright, this just can't be real. Let me see that.
From the black belt, 64 style.
I told you, only for the iPad 3.
I can take 3 different ways to break your armor. 2 of them involve ripping it out of the socket and smacking you in the face with it.
Endless love. Endless love. Endless love. Endless love.
Shoot 'em up Charlie here. By now, you know that I get to help vigilante types kill unarmed people. And the best part is, it's perfectly legal. Thanks to my friends at the NRA and ALEC, who write the laws and then feed them to politicians all over the country, if you feel threatened by a punk packing dangerous Skittles, shoot, shoot, shoot!
After that happened, since 2005, that bill and parts of that bill have spread to states across the country. So we certainly applaud the corporations that have decided to leave ALEC and stop bankrolling their operations.
Explain Marion Hammer's significance in Florida.
Marion Hammer is the former NRA president, the president of the National Rifle Association, and she's the chief lobbyist for the NRA in Florida. She actually conceived of this bill in the words of Wayne LaPierre. She sought out two ALEC legislators to help get this bill introduced in the state assembly and Senate. She was on the floor of the body there, apparently staring people down as they voted. She stood behind Jeb Bush, the governor at the time, when he signed this bill into law, and she weighed in on the jury instructions that were written in light of this law. She was very pleased with the jury instructions that came out after this law was passed. Those are the jury instructions that will be in play as the prosecution of George Zimmerman proceeds.
Well, Lisa, on Wednesday, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced a campaign to fight Stand Your Ground laws. Here's what he said about the legislation's impact in Florida.
Before Stand Your Ground law became, laws became a law in Florida, the state averaged 12 cases of justifiable homicide per year. Since the law was passed, the average has been 36, three times higher.
Bloomberg made that announcement with a bunch of other leaders in Washington, including the Reverend Al Sharpton. Your response?
Well, that's precisely what's been happening. We've seen that trend in states across the country where this law passes. Increasingly, you see a number of individuals who are set free, who aren't even prosecuted for killing another person, often an unarmed person. And the way this works is that ALEC, through its legislators, through its members, are basically putting a thumb on the scale of justice to make it harder for these cases to get to a jury, both a criminal jury and a civil jury. And once cases do get to a jury, to make it harder for juries to convict shooters of unarmed men.
By now, you know that I get to help vigilante types kill unarmed people. And the best part is, it's perfectly legal. Thanks to my friends at the NRA and ALEC, who write the laws and then feed them to politicians all over the country, if you feel threatened by a punk packing dangerous Skittles, shoot, shoot, shoot! But ALEC and I, we're not just one-shot wonders. We're funded by millions and millions of corporate dollars working to undermine things like healthcare reform. In other words, I help corporations shoot you and then deny you coverage for a pre-existing condition. It's all about getting the laws we write into state houses everywhere through our complicit lawmakers, which would sound like a crazy conspiracy if it weren't true. We write so many laws and distribute them through our member politicians, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. From blocking healthcare reform, to gutting environmental laws, to busting unions and pushing private prisons, it's a right-wing rapid-fire turkey shoot. But laws don't kill people. Laws introduced by pliable politicians backed by a shadowy organization funded by huge corporations kill people.
The criminal justice system is always afraid of these cases. They're always afraid to really get into it and have real justice served, because to do so would reveal the depths to which this goes in their system. Every time claims of racial bias and patterns of racial injustice have been brought before them, they have said, yes, that is the pattern. However, we cannot admit it. Because to admit it would be to condemn our whole thing. And I think what's happening is that condemnation, that sense of the whole thing being rotten, is becoming more and more clear in the minds of millions and millions of people. That's what the era of mass incarceration really means. You have a mass of people involved in this thing.
breaking.
as compared to beyond a reasonable doubt? In lay terms, lay that out for us now.
Well, it's very easy to get an indictment. I think the chief judge in the New York Court of Appeals once said that a prosecutor could persuade a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. It's even easier to get something like this because all the prosecutor has to do is sign her name to it. But probable cause is a very minimal standard. It just means that everything that you say turns out to be true, had the elements of the crime been satisfied. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt means that this affidavit doesn't even make it to probable cause. Everything in the affidavit is completely consistent with a defense of self-defense. Everything. Even if he was the provocateur, you still have traditional self-defense under the law. If, in fact, Zimmerman provoked you, but then...
Thank you.
people you involve in it, the more people begin to figure it out. And so that's the flip side of mass incarceration. Now a whole mass of people have a reason to think it through critically, to come to understand it, and now what we're seeing, to fight it, to get into the streets and challenge it. And I think that's why we saw such an outpouring here in the streets today. An unbelievable outpouring.
Hey, this is Furious George signing off here. It's WCOM Radio, 103.5. Micro-powered radio. And I'll be back here next week. Stick around for more fun stuff. We're just going to take some more of these airwaves and have fun with them. Because we are, I'm Furious. We got DJ the Homeostasis, DJ the beer drinking glove of love. So if you like what you're hearing, you can help out by doing just that. And keep doing it. And you can also go to furiousg.blogspot.com for some old stuff, or go to wcomfm.org for more stuff on our little station here and how we keep going. So you can help by doing what you do, however it is. I'll be back next week. Till then, be furious. That's the sound that I need. That's the sound that I'm calling.